possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome on into game day, folks. Saints preseason game number two against the Jacksonville Jaguars. California portion of training camp is wrapped up. Jeff sure is back here in Louisiana.
I love it.
We'll be on the sideline today, getting ready for that noon kickoff against the Jags. Welcome into Caesars Sportsbook First Take. Jeff and I will be taking until 10 a.m. Then the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Abreu, will drop by and give his thoughts on the countdown to kickoff as we lead up to game time. It's high noon in the Superdome. And right now, very quiet here, Jeff, as we're used to in those early morning hours as we get ready for the folks to start filtering in for game day here. But we do know who the starter is. That was a little bit of excitement. Not really a surprise, but you saw the Saints tweeting out on social medias that the fact that Tyler Shuck, the rookie, will be getting the start today in the Superdome.
Yeah, I love it. I love being in here, man. It's exciting. It's like waking up on the first day of school. Like, yeah, let's do it. You know, you're excited. They haven't given you any homework yet. You just get to go and hang out. But it's going to be interesting. You know, this is I've talked to a lot of people, and like my question is, are you excited about the season? And I was on a show yesterday, and they were like, you know, asking me questions like, "Oh, everyone must be miserable." It's like all these projections have you so for 5-12, and the lines keep going down, and it's like I don't know. I don't get that vibe from people. Like I think people are generally kind of excited because even though the projections aren't great, like
it's not the same. It's just
there's
change.
Stuff to be excited about,
right?
Right? Like there's a quarterback to be excited about. There's a situation to be excited about with a new head coach and new offense and new defense and Tyler Shuck getting out there to start today. You know, I don't think it's indicative of necessarily any decision being made in the quarterback competition. I think it's really more about, hey, we started Spencer Rattler last week. We're going to start Tyler Shuck this week. And, you know, we were kind of talking before we came on. You know, I would be surprised if we see a significantly different lineup this week than we do last week, at least on offense, because I think that is your goal, to balance things out. Last week, even you look at the reps, right? Tyler, it seemed like played more, but Tyler got 30 snaps. Spencer got 29. Right? Like that was what they were trying to do, was keep it balanced. And so I don't think it would necessarily be balanced if you sent Spencer out there last week without Eric McCoy, without Chris Olave, without Rashid Shaheed, and then sent Tyler out there this week with those starters. So that's kind of why I'm leaning toward you're going to see a similar lineup. You're not going to see Trevor Penning. obviously. He's dealing with that foot injury. You know, and there's a few other guys who are a little banged up, and you're going to see how that kind of matches. Alante Taylor has been out with a groin injury. JT Gray has been out with a hamstring injury. Devin Neal has been out with a hamstring injury. But, you know, this is going to be a situation where I think if Tyler goes out and looks like the starter, you could come out of this week with him as the starter. And that's saying something, because when we went out to California, I didn't necessarily feel that way. The first couple weeks of camp for him, right, he looked like a rookie. He looked a little hesitant. I thought he was a little slow on some of his reads. He was scrambling in 7-on-7s. He wasn't getting the ball out. And, you know, I don't know if something clicked for him. He definitely built some confidence in that preseason game, getting in and having that two-minute drill be your first action in the NFL. You know, I almost think that helps you settle in as a young player. Like, you don't have time to go out there and overthink. You just got to go. And so if he can follow that up, you know, ideally no pick sixes today would be a good start. You know, I think that this is neck and neck right now. And I think it's going to come down a lot more to what Tyler does necessarily than what Spencer does. Because I think you're comfortable starting Spencer if it came down to that. And the bigger question is going to be, is Tyler Shuck ready to play, ready to start at the NFL level? And that's what you want him to go out there and show today. One little note. If you go back to 2021, that was the last time the Saints had a quarterback competition. Now, we don't need to talk about what happened at the end of that preseason because it was less than pleasant, but that quarterback competition was Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. It was kind of up in the air until week two, Jameis came out and had a really strong game in this building against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And after that, you know, he was a starter. So, you know, I don't know if history is going to repeat itself, but it does feel kind of kismet that it's like that today.
Jeff, a big question for me in this game is, what is the O-line going to look like? Because the amount of pressure along with the lack of rushing lanes has been pretty apparent in practices and even against the Chargers.
Yeah, well, one thing that happened in the joint practice with the Rams on Thursday that gave me a little bit more confidence is the Saints defensive line got after Stetson Bennett and Jimmy Garoppolo as well. I think Chase Young had like 3 sacks. Chris Rump.
I heard he was like a man on fire out there.
Yeah, so that's what you want to see, because anytime you're in camp and the defense looks like it's ahead, you're like, hopefully it's because the defense is good and not just because the offense can't get anything done. So we'll see how it looks today. There won't be, like I mentioned, Trevor Penning won't be out there. You're going to have Dylan Radins as your starting left guard. And, you know, the pass protection, I think, has been okay. You know, you have a couple more mobile quarterbacks, so they're able to do some stuff with them to mitigate some of that pressure. They can escape. They can extend plays. It's the lack of a run game that's been really problematic. And, they got stuffed all day against the Rams. You know, you're not going full. You know, you're not taking guys to the ground, but you know, in the trenches, you're hitting, you know, and you're in full pads. It's not like you're holding anything back, and it just was not much to be had up the middle. You know, they have some speed, they have some athletes, so they could bounce some stuff to the outside. But yeah, this offense, if it can't run the ball between the tackles, they're gonna have a real tough time.
Yeah, that the middle of the O-line has been a huge concern, just in general, and the. You know, the tackles on the outside, I don't think there's that much of a concern with. It's more of your guards.
Yeah, I mean, the Fuaga, I feel good about. Banks is obviously a rookie, so he's going to have rookie moments, right? You kind of have to just take that for what it is. I think he's going to get a lot more help this year than Talley is on the other side, with tight ends and running backs kind of chipping on their way out, right? But, yeah, I mean, we're not going to see Eric McCoy. I would be stunned if we see Eric McCoy out there today, just because I think he's the type of guy you just put in bubble wrap, especially after how last season went. Like, you just got to get to the regular season and figure it out. And if he's not out there, it'll probably be Simpkins again, Torricelli Simpkins. It'll be interesting to see how they stack that up behind him. But I kind of feel like he's just going to get a chance to earn that backup job. Will Clapp is out for the season with a foot injury. It's a bummer for, you know, the local kid who was coming home. He was going to have a significant role for his hometown team, and he's going to land on IR for the rest of the year. So I don't know. Like, it's tough to gauge at times when if you don't have Eric out there, because he's such a big piece of that, particularly in pass protection. But, no, I need to see, you know, Cesar Ruiz, if he's out there, Dylan Radins really kind of, you know, be physical. Because that's the issue. It's not that you can't run the ball. It's that I just don't see the Saints offensive line setting the tone physically up front. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to be able to run the ball. Like, you have to physically dominate people in the trenches, and too much of the time it feels like they're on the receiving end of it. So hopefully they can get some, I don't know, maybe maybe drink some extra coffee this morning, get a little amped up, and see if they can go out there and do something.
We talked a little bit there with the O-line. Maybe we don't see Eric McCoy. You're not expecting that. And I don't know if with the pass catchers, you know, we know Alvin Kamara in the running back room, he's not going to go at all. You can, like you said, bubble wrap him, save him for the regular season. But like a Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Juwan Johnson, do you want to see anything from those guys before you get to the regular season?
Yeah, it's kind of a guess at this point because we don't know exactly how Kellen Moore is going to operate as the head coach in this situation. They did get a lot of hard work in on Thursday. They ran 63 plays of offense and defense. So, you know, if there's guys who are kind of a little banged up, you're not going to put them out there.
Yeah.
Juwan Johnson is a question. He had 6 catches on Thursday. I think you feel good about where he is. But, you know, it's going to be something that I don't know if we're going to be able to know who's going to play until we're right up until game time. Because last week against the Chargers, even the players who weren't active, they were healthy. They were out there warming up. So it's not like you can go around and be like, okay, this guy's in street clothes, this guy's in street clothes. Like, yeah. Alvin Kamara was in full uniform running around until he wasn't. So it's going to be kind of a guess at this point.
What was the point of that, just going through the routine of, you know, getting ready for game time?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I asked Kellen Moore about it after the game, and it's like, yeah, you're just kind of getting these guys into game day, right? You know, you're getting them into the mode of, like, this is what it's going to be like going into a game. And I don't know how much that changes for an Alvin Kamara, for guys like that, but, I mean, that's just something he believes in, is you want to get that muscle memory in so that, you know, week one you're going out there and it's not just the first time you've gone through this process, even during the scrimmages. Right, they even had like a game time for the first scrimmage. It started at 9:24 on the dot, and they went through their full kind of pregame warm-up, not like the typical practice stretch jog. It was like the full, you know, layup lines kind of thing where, you know, yeah, they're running down. So I expect he'll do that again today, and then we'll kind of see. I don't think you'll see Rashid Shaheed, Chris Olave. If you do, it will not be for very long. And I don't know. I kind of think there would be some value in getting Chris out there and getting that first hit, you know, under his belt. Because we haven't seen him in a game since week 9 of last year when he was getting carted off the field. That's the last time he's taken a hit in an NFL game.
Wow.
So I wouldn't hate the idea of getting him out there, just getting him feel for contact, physicality, and then getting him out. You know, like get him one catch and be like, all right, you're done. Juwan did play last week briefly, so we'll have to see. But again, I do think you are trying to balance this with the quarterbacks to give him a kind of a fair evaluation, an even evaluation. So I think, generally speaking, you would look for that. I think you're going to see Kendre Miller out there again. And it's just going to be a question of how this offense operates.
We talked about a little before coming on air, too. It wouldn't be necessarily fair if the QB competition, if Shuck gets to go out there with the full, you know, accompaniment of weaponry that, you know, Spencer Rattler didn't have last game.
Yeah, I mean, fair is one way to put it. I think it would tell you that it would be a kind of a tip of their hand of that they're leaning toward Tyler.
Yeah, right.
Because it would be more about, hey, we want to see him with the starters, then we want to make sure this is exactly even. Right. So if you do see them go out there with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed and those guys, I think that's pretty telling that they're getting close to pulling the trigger on Tyler. And, you know, I think one of the criticisms throughout when you're talking about, hey, we drafted this guy number 40 overall, he should be able to beat out a Spencer Rattler. No disrespect to Spencer, but the investment alone. You know, you look at, we were just talking about Jackson Dart and the Giants, right? The way they went about their quarterback situation is way different than the way the Saints did, in that they brought in Russell Wilson, and it's like, yeah, okay, Russell Wilson makes sense to start over the rookie because he has NFL experience under his belt, not 6 games where it didn't go very well. There's been a lot of situations, Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix last year. Like, there was no question it was going to be Kirk Cousins because he's the veteran. If Derek Carr was here, it would be Derek Carr. We would be talking about this like, not, hey, is this a competition? Like, we would say, okay, if and when Tyler gets in, you know, is he going to be ready? In this case, the way the Saints went about it, there is nothing stopping you from saying he's ready, go. It's kind of like Bo Nix and the Broncos last year, right? So, you know, I think if he goes out there and shows today that he can start, that's what you're going to do.
We've been talking all about the offense, the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned Chase Young had a big day against the scrimmage against the Rams, and it's really been eye-opening this year just to see. I feel like even his attitude, the way he's carrying himself, is a lot different, more free, more vocal even.
Yeah.
And just happy to see this guy, I guess, more comfortable in black and gold.
Yeah, we got to remember, last year he was coming off that neck surgery. Yeah. He missed most of the, you know, the initial program. He was out there for a majority of camp, but he missed, you know, mini camp, OTAs, all of that. So I do think he was a little behind the eight ball. He was playing a little heavier because it was a 4-3 scheme, and you want the kind of heavier defensive end. He slimmed down a little bit. Same could be said for Carl Granderson. Again, I don't know if you'll see them out there today. I don't think there's, you know, the balance isn't the issue on the defense, so maybe you do try to get a couple reps, but I also think you know what you're going to get out of these guys. But no, Chase has, I think Chase, and I said this last year, so I have to kind of throw a large grain of salt into the equation, but he looks like he's ready to have a monster season. And I think this defense is going to work for him. What I've been most impressed with Chase in this defense, yes, the pass rush is there and the ability to get after the quarterback is there, but he's been dropping into coverage and knocking balls away. Like, he's been doing what you need that outside linebacker to do, and that's the question when you transition to a 3-4 with guys who have played a lot of 4-3, is can they do that extra element? Like, when you drop them into coverage, are they a massive liability? And I don't see that. Like, he's athletic. He's knocking down passes. He had 3 pass breakups in that practice the other day. And if you can do that, and they don't have to take you off the field in situations where, you know, you need somebody to drop, then that just makes it so much more, gives him a way better chance to impact games. Because, like, there have been times I've watched him drop and cover Brandon Cooks, and it looks natural out there. Like, he's
that's impressive.
There's a reason that he was the number 2 pick in the draft, right? Like, you look at these guys and you say, like, yeah, Carl Granderson. I really like Carl Granderson. You know, some of these, Chris Rumpf has been playing well. Fadil Diggs is playing well. But he just has the pedigree of a guy that can be a dominant NFL player. And it's just a matter of the Saints untapping that for the first time in several years for him.
Going to take a break here on First Take, Caesars Sportsbook First Take, that is. We're going to get back with more of our talk about this Saints matchup against the Jaguars, a little bit more also on the defense. One of the stars of camp, a guy that came late, and Julian Blackman has seemed to fit, being a seamless fit for this Brandon Staley defense. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak here on First Take on WWL Saints Radio, taking the break. We'll be right back with more right after this on WWL.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Julian's the ultimate pro.
quick transition for him. Really, really impressive how quickly he was able to acclimate himself to the system, to the team. And, he's just doing an exceptional job. He's a vet. You can tell he's played a lot of football. He understands it. And so he's done a really nice job.
Back in here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take Inside the Dome, getting ready for that noon kickoff against the Jaguars. You just heard Saints head coach Kellen Moore talking about Julian Blackmon looking like that perfect fit so far for this Brandon Staley defense.
Yeah, it's funny because, obviously Tyron retired and they brought in Julian, and there was this idea like, man, how lucky were they to bring Julian in? And that's true, but they were looking at Julian before Tyron retired. Like, that was kind of in the works, and it was just a question of whether, he was going to land here. One of the interesting things about the current group is Julian and Terrell Burgess were actually teammates at Utah. And you go back, and Brandon Staley was the defense coordinator with the Rams back in 2020, and he was all in on Julian Blackmon in that draft. And the only reason he didn't end up with the Rams was that the Colts drafted him at number 85. The Rams didn't pick until about number 100. So, they were, like, in on him. Like, they were going to draft him. They had to change course. And so who do they draft? They draft Terrell Burgess, his Utah teammate. Now they're teammates in New Orleans. And, when we were earlier in camp, they went inside for kind of a developmental session. It was one of Julian's first practices. And it was Jake Haener throwing the ball, and Julian just made this great interception. It wasn't a bad throw. It was just a great defensive play. He just went up and high-pointed it like a receiver, and Brandon's over there like yelling like, I've waited 5 years for this. And, and he's excited. Like, Brandon was excited to get him in because he feels like this is a guy who fits my scheme. So, as much as you want Tyron Matthew around, he's a great football player. I don't think that this is going to be necessarily a massive step back, because I think what you have here is a potential tandem that you could build in a multi-year situation. Now, obviously, Julian's on a one-year deal, and if he has a massive season, he's going to hit the free agent market, and you might have a hard time retaining him.
Cha-ching.
But I think at the same time, like, this is you look at Julian Blackmon, Justin Reed, and as a duo. That for this team, like, they're thinking more than just this year. Like, you're thinking this is a defense that could potentially build with some really intriguing pieces. And if the offense kind of catches up, suddenly you have a group that you can work with. Julian Blackmon has 4 interceptions in camp, by my count, and 3 of them have come in the last 3 practices. and 2 of them were to end the practice to finish off long drives. One of them was kind of a last second heave to the end zone, so it doesn't really, I wouldn't count that as a kind of in phase interception. But he's just a guy who makes plays, and that's what this defense is going to be looking for, because you don't have a guy like Paulson Adebo anymore. Like, he was the playmaker who, when you needed a big play, when you needed a takeaway, he seemed to always be the guy that got it. Tyron Matthew was the other guy. You lost both of those guys. Tyron Matthew had 10 interceptions in his 3 seasons with the Saints. Like, he was taking the ball away constantly. Like, there were moments where you're like, he's missing tackles, but he made big plays. He made the momentum swinging plays. And right now it feels like Julian could be that guy for this team. And, if for this Saints team this year to kind of buck expectations, to win more games than they're expected to, it's going to have to be because, A, you can run the ball, and B, you can have an opportunistic defense that doesn't allow a ton of points. Like, I don't know what your defense is going to have to average for you to win games, but you're not going to win a lot of games if you're not taking the ball away and you're not setting up these young quarterbacks in positive situations on offense. So, no, I've been really impressed with Julian. And one other thing, one of the things he said that really kind of stuck out to me. So if you go back and watch last year, one of the reasons I think Julian was on the free agent market is because he had a rough season from a tackling perspective. Well, he was dealing with a labrum injury all season. He played in 16 games. He hurt his labrum in week 1. And, he was asked, and when he got here, he's like, why did you decide to play through that injury last year? And he was just like, well, they asked me to. And I'm like, okay. And I think that's pretty telling of kind of the personality and the
commitment. I'm just going to get it out. I'm not dying here.
It's a contract year for him.
Right.
He doesn't want to go out there and look bad. It probably cost him money going out there and playing, but the team asked him to do it, so he did it. And I think that's, that's the type of player you want in your program.
Looking at the defense too, Jeff, what's going to be important is stopping the run game. They were not successful last year. At least we've seen some glimpses of it looking much more improved, I feel, this season with Staley's scheme.
Yeah, Devon Godshaw is exactly what you needed. You look at those 2 additions. You look at Julian Blackmon, you look at Devon Godshaw as the 2 pieces that they just needed to bring in for this defense to work. And he's, you know, it's a league full of big, strong guys, and you have his teammates, an offensive lineman, just like raving about, like, this dude is just different. He's just bigger and stronger than other guys. Devon would refer to it as old man strength. He's kind of an older dude. But, you know, that nose tackle position in this defense, I was talking to him about it on Thursday, and, you know, it's a very thankless position. Like, people don't go out there and rave about the best nose tackles in the NFL, but when you have a 3-4 scheme and you don't have that dominant nose tackle who can eat double teams and just stuff the run, you know, you're not going to get a lot done. And, you know, I asked him kind of who are some of the players you look at as kind of the standard bearers, and the first one he went to was Vince Wilfork, and I couldn't agree more. And Vince was always that guy, like, you know, he'd eat a whole turkey to himself. Like, he was just that type of dude, like Thanksgiving dinner, and be like, we're going to make two turkeys. One's for Vince, the other one's for everybody else. And you just got to be that just big space eater. And so, you know, he's going to be massively important for that group, and he's going to make life a lot easier on the rest of that 3-4 defense. The guy that, you know, we're probably not going to see Devon out here today. I asked him if he was excited to play in the Superdome for the first time, and he kind of gave me a side eye. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be playing.
Hold on. You mentioned that. Here's that clip of Jeff asking Godchow about playing in the Dome.
How excited are you to get into the Superdome on Sunday?
Oh, man. Don't know the status of, you know, what's going to happen, but who's going to play or not, but I'm excited, man. I'm excited. They say it's like a party in there every Sunday. So, I think all our games are at 12 o'clock noon. So, it's going to be a lot of partying at noon in New Orleans. So,
Have you ever played?
I'm excited. Never played a high school championship. Never played at LSU. Never. So, I'm excited. It's going to be interesting.
I thought that was crazy to hear that he's never played in the Super Bowl.
I was kind of surprised to hear that as well. But, yeah, he's from Louisiana. He did grow up a Steelers fan. So, you know, you got to get
that happen.
I don't know. Kind of a weird situation. But, yeah, he also talked about Casey Hampton. Like, one of the reasons he looks at Casey Hampton is because he grew up watching Casey Hampton. But, the guy that we're going to see out there today that I think, you know, you talk about position battles. One of the position battles that's going to be interesting to see play out is kind of the who's going to back up Devon. Who's going to be that second string nose tackle. And right now I think it's probably between Colin Saunders and second-year pro Christian Boyd, kid out of Northern Iowa. He didn't play nose tackle last year. It was a 4-3 defense. So this is kind of the first chance he's had to really kind of develop at that position. And, you know, Devon said, hey, he's been one of the guys I've been most impressed with throughout camp. Like, he's growing so quickly. He's becoming a pro so quickly. And, you know, if he can show that he's got the chops to do that, I think when you're in the position the Saints are in and you're not a playoff contender, or at least that's not what people are viewing you as, you're in kind of a soft rebuild, I think you are going to err toward the younger players if they show that they can get it done. So I think he's got a chance to go out there and make this roster. So, you know, if he can go out there and have a big day today, that'd be big for him. And keep in mind, a big day for a nose tackle is getting double teamed, right? It's not getting 3-4 tackles. It's not sacking the quarterback. It's allowing the players around you to get after the quarterback and to stuff the run. So, you know, if the Saints' defensive line has a big day and he's right there in the middle of it, that's a good day for the nose tackle.
How about the rookie in the third-round pick in Vernon Broughton? I know we haven't seen much yet from him.
Yeah, he's swimming right now. I think he's been working more at the defensive end spots from what I could tell. You know, he's going to make this roster. I think he's developing,
yeah.
You know, and I think you probably would like to see more from him than you have right now. But this is a deep defensive tackle group. And so, yeah, these are the type of games where you want to see him continue to take a step forward. You know, if you can get a big day out of some of these young players, it goes a long way. But, yeah, he's a guy that, you know, probably you'd be a little disappointed with the production to this point. But we'll see today.
When you look also with this defense, you mentioned some of the names there. And I've been impressed, actually, with what Nathan Shepard's been showing in this camp. I feel like I was questioning the Saints on why even bring him back for this season, but definitely has been more of a force than I thought he would.
He's a big, strong dude.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's a people mover, and you're going to be asking guys to do a lot of different things, right? Like, it's the variability of this defense is really intriguing, and the question's going to be, okay, what are you after? Like, what are you looking for out of that position? He's going to be that kind of three-four defensive end, so you're going to ask him to get upfield a little bit more. He's going to have to play the run. There's like four or five guys that I could see them keeping. He's one of them. I could also see him getting cut. So these games are going to be important for those guys.
Yeah, you mentioned that grouping, it's really tough to see how many they're going to keep and who ends up being the odd man out for them.
Yeah. And, you know, there's they're going to be on the field a lot. Like, I think like that group, you know, I don't think you're going to see a Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson, Chase Young. So you're going to see a lot more Fadil Diggs, Chris Rumpf, Isaiah Foskey, you know, and it, when it comes down to it, like, that's going to be a fascinating decision to make. Because as much as we can all sit here and say, like, he's not producing, get rid of him, you know, it's not an easy thing to do to move on from a second-round pick from 2 years ago, right? Like, I think all you need is one strong performance from Isaiah Foskey, and suddenly he's right at the top of that list again. And so that's what these games are about, right? Like, it's not about, oh, you have an elite defense. It's about individual performances, and it's about guys getting opportunities and taking advantage of them. And to this point, like, that's been the story for Foskey. Is it's like he's out there, you know, at least in this preseason. He had the most defensive snaps. He didn't show up in the stat sheet. You can't do that. That can't be the answer.
It's head-scratching with him.
Yeah, I think it's a confidence thing. It's a, you know, he's kind of in his own head at this point. Like, you're the outside linebacker. You can't be getting sucked in and run and beat into the outside. Like, you're the outside linebacker. It's right there in the name, outside. So, yeah, I'd really like to see a big day out of him. And if not, like, if he can't show it, then I think that opens the door for guys like Chris Rumpf, Fadil Diggs, who have been producing in camp. Like, Chris Rumpf is a guy I don't think anyone knows much about, but he's been a constant presence, and he fits the scheme, right? Like, he's just that outside linebacker build. He's lanky. He's not.
And he's been with Staley before.
Yes, right, for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? Because he fits the scheme. And, you know, I think there's a certain point where the draft value, the draft status is not going to outweigh, like, you fit what we're trying to do, and you're contributing, right? Like, special teams is important, but I think all these guys can contribute on special teams to some extent. So that's not going to be the reason. So, you know, I think that defensive end, that, I guess it's not defensive end, but that edge rusher, that outside linebacker spot, you know, someone's going to make the roster based on these next two preseason games.
What we're going to do is take a break. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit about the cornerback group. Also hear from rookie Quincy Riley here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. You can sound off 504-260-1870, folks. What you doing this game day? How you pre-gaming for preseason game number two in the Dome? And are you headed our way? We are located in the atrium of Gate B, Loge level. You can stop by and say hey when the Cajun Cannon gets here at 10 a.m. for the countdown to kickoff. And then at noon, sync up with the home team, Deuce and Haas, also Jeff Nowak on the sideline. After the game, we'll have the point after with the Cajun Cannon. It's 10 hours of wall-to-wall coverage of black and gold football right here on WWL Saints Radio. Saints versus Jags today, folks. Getting ready for it. Stay tuned for even more First Take after this on WWL.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes, and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Be well. Back here on the Caesar Sportsbook First Take, Jeff and I already inside the dome getting ready for a Saints battle in Jacksonville. Right here, the first preseason home game of the year. Game day starts right now on First Take, and then lead you into the Bud Light, the countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at 10 a.m. You can stop by, say hey, at the Loge Level Gate B Atrium presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Then at noon, sync up with the home team, Deuce and Haas, with Jeff Nowak on the sideline after the game. Sound off on the point after with the Cajun Cannon. It's 10 hours of wall-to-wall black and gold football. Saints and Jags today, WWL, and on the free Odyssey app. And I got to say, Jeff, for yesterday's games, I was kind of flipping back and forth. Wasn't glued necessarily to the preseason action, but did want to see, you know, some football. And it was good to get some action in. And I was kind of impressed with what Jackson Dart was able to do for the Giants.
Yeah, I have to admit, after 10 days out in California, I think if I spent all Saturday watching football, my wife might have murdered me. So I didn't get to catch as many of those preseason games as maybe I wanted to.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, one of the interesting things in this preseason is all these rookies look good, you know? I think Jackson Dart went 14 to 16, like his numbers in this preseason. He's not even a guy that anyone's really talking about to start, because Russ has also looked good. Russ had an 80-yard touchdown to a guy I've never heard of, like a Madden creative player. I think his name's Bo Collins. Good for him. But, yeah, no, you look at all these rookies, and, you know, Cam Ward has played well. Even Shador played well. Dylan Gabriel, I thought, played
exactly.
When I looked at the highlights of that game. You know, he did throw a pick six.
Not so much Cam Ward. I think he was like 2 of 7.
Yeah, but I think the Titans, you know, the reports out of Titans camp are that, you know, they're throwing him to the wolves a little bit because he's going to be the starter.
Right.
And you're just going to see what happens. So, you know, for a draft that wasn't loaded with quarterbacks the way last year's was, you know, I think that these guys are all coming out and starting to look good. Like, I thought Tyler had a really strong first impression. Again, you know, you have a pick six, but that's something rookies do. They make mistakes and you kind of learn from them. So, you know, hopefully this quarterback class can be a little better than people maybe gave it credit for in real time. I haven't really kept up with what Jalen Milroe's doing out in Seattle, but obviously that's the Sam Darnold show out there right now. So
and Clint Kubiak running the offense.
Yeah, like Coops. That offense looks pretty good. They're running the ball, man. They're averaging like 5.5 yards a carry. So yeah, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for Seattle, not in week 3.
No,
but,
exactly.
You know, I'm rooting for them. That's going to be the Saints' first road trip, is going out there, and they're going to try to run the ball down their throat. We're going to get a real test for that run defense. Ashton Jeanty. If you saw that yesterday, I mean,
hello.
He looks like a bull.
Right.
Man, you know, so we'll
no
see.
No worries drafting him in fantasy football.
Yeah, yeah, right. No, there's going to be a lot of really intriguing young players. And, you know, I was looking at a graphic, like, last year. It's like that draft class last year. You can't find a bad pick in the first round last year. Like, the Saints, yeah, I feel really good about that Fuaga pick. I mean, you could look at basically any pick in that first round and be like, man. Well, this was a good one. Like, I think that's going to be a draft to look back on in like 5-10 years. It was like one of the greatest drafts you've ever seen, especially with all the quarterbacks, with the running backs. And
I was a little jealous of with the Raiders and Brock Bowers, seeing him also still looking like a beast out there. And it's like, imagining him, what he would have looked like in black and gold.
Yeah, I saw someone be like, I can't believe the Saints didn't draft Brock Bowers. Like,
well,
he wasn't there to be drafted.
Right, exactly.
I think the Falcons actually ruined that because, you know, I don't think a lot of people expected the Falcons to take Michael Penix. And then suddenly it's like, oh, well, okay, the Raiders are kind of out in the cold. Like, they needed a quarterback. They probably would have taken Penix. And instead, you know, you got what you got. But again, I don't think you can find a bad rookie pick. You know, one of the most disappointing players in the draft was the number one pick, and he's Caleb Williams. And I think people are still very hopeful that he can be that elite player with Ben Johnson in that new scheme. So, no, I think there's a lot of teams who are feeling really good about their second-year players right now.
Talking about rookies, I wanted to get into the Saints cornerback room and what we've been seeing out of Quincy Riley. He was asked at practice in California about the ball instincts he has.
I think it's a part of a natural feel and just knowing football, studying wise, but I just a see ball, get ball type of guy. If it's in the air, I feel like it's always got to be mine, as no matter where it's thrown. So that's just my mindset whenever the ball in the air.
You know, being a stud in pass coverage is one thing. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, even asked Riley, what about that ability to step up and help in run support?
They got stereotype corners don't like to tackle, but for me, I feel like that's why I kind of separate myself at filling in run schemes, run gaps, anything you want to put me at. Like, I can just do it all.
You love to hear that from him, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, something about this scheme that I think is going to, you know, the defensive backs are going to appreciate and have appreciated is it's a much more heads-up scheme. I was talking to Rajon Wright about this. And, you know, you're not playing nearly as much kind of press man. Like, that was D.A.'s thing. He had Marshawn Lattimore. That's what he did best. And he kind of developed into this kind of full press man all the time scheme. And, you know, it works when it works, but it's also exhausting to play. You know, one of the reasons I think the Saints struggled in run against the run last year, like, you have these mobile quarterbacks, right? Once these quarterbacks break contain, the cornerbacks can come up and make a tackle. Well, the problem is when you're playing press man, you're downfield. You're not looking at the backfield. You're looking at your guy. You're waiting for him to kind of trigger and show you the ball's coming. And by the time the quarterback breaks contain and is 5-10 yards downfield, you're too far away to make a play. Well, in this scheme, you're playing a lot more zone, right? Like, you have your eyes on the action a lot more, so you can get up and run support. And those outside corners can actually come up and make a tackle a lot more easily than they could have in that last scheme. So, yeah, you are asking these guys to make tackles in the open field. And so that should help, right? Like, that should keep them a little bit more engaged in the game. You won't get the, you know, one of the reasons Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore was such like a kind of an appointment viewing matchup is because you were saying, all right, Mike, we're going to throw Marshawn right in your hip pocket the entire game. You're going to have to deal with that. You're not really going to do that as much. You're going to play sides a lot more. You're not going to shadow. And so, yeah, you're going to ask a guy like Quincy Riley to be a little more opportunistic. You know, he's not going to have to lock in on that one defender. But here's the thing, like, you better be opportunistic, because when you're a young player and you get thrown out there, they're going to go at you.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
So, like, you're going to have to make plays on the ball. And that's why Ike Adam, when he was here last time, you know, I think he impressed some folks because other teams were going at him. And he was holding up. Like, he was making plays. Now, they had to get him a couple times, but he was always kind of fighting. He's going to make you earn every catch. And that's what I want to see out of Quincy. Like, he has been opportunistic. He's made a few plays, but I think he's also gotten beat a few times. So, you know, he's a young player. He's going to have to develop. But I like what I've seen out of him so far.
You mentioned Ike Yadam, and that was a question you were asking the rookie Quincy Riley about, that veteran leadership from Ike in that cornerback group.
Originally, I was talking yesterday about how Ike has kind of become that veteran leader in the room. Has that been your experience?
100%. Like, Ike was one of those guys, the first guys I kind of talked to, just because he was the oldest guy in the room, and just learning ball with him, just learning life with him, just like showing me his experiences from his early in career, showing me what not to do, everything. So I agree, Ike has been one of those leaders in the room, just from a vet standpoint.
What did he tell you not?
He just tell me, just pay attention always. Like, somebody's always watching you, no matter what you think. Somebody's always watching you. So that's one thing he told me.
Besides learning from the veteran in Ike Yadam, Riley also talked about working with corners coach Gary Brown.
I love to be coached. Like, as long as I'm learning something new or learning, like, that's going to better me for later on in life that I don't see it right now, I love it. So I take it all in with a grain of salt and just keep pushing every day. And hopefully he come back new with something, like a new a critique, so I can pick up on it and just practice it tomorrow.
Speaking of coaching, Quincy Riley talks about what Kellen Moore is like as a head coach.
Passionate, like, that guy, like, one of the passionate guys I ever been around. Like, he loves football. He always installed Super Bowl standard team. Like, so he's just passionate about the game. So you're gonna always just learn a lot from him. You're gonna always feel love from everything. He always wanted to teach just being joy, tough, and always being together. So he a passionate coach.
You figure Quincy Riley is going to get plenty of play in the preseason here, especially, oh, yeah. You know, Alante Taylor also still dealing with an injury.
I do want to clean something up. It's Grady Brown.
What did I say?
Grady Brown. No, you said Gary. I got you, Grady.
I'm terrible.
Don't you worry about that. They call him GB, so why don't you just go with GB? It saves some time. I kept having to look up, like, GB? Oh, Grady Brown. Yeah, new cornerbacks coach. But I thought that was interesting when Rajon brought it up, and obviously Quincy talked about it there, was, you know, Ike Adam is not a guy that you would think would be like the leader in the room. But then you look at it and you're like, oh, all these guys are young. Like, you moved on from Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, even a Tyrann Mathieu, who was kind of that you know, just godfather
secondary
of the
guru,
secondary.
Right, yeah. Right?
He's gone now. So, yeah, a guy like Ike, who, yeah, he was in San Francisco last year, but now he's here. He's back. And yeah, he is kind of that well-traveled guy who can lead some of these young players to water. And, you know, they have a saying, it's be like Ike. Which I thought was funny. I think Ike is a valuable piece in this room for sure.
Taking a break here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, gearing up for that noon kickoff here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back in for the second hour of the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. Seeing on social media that Champion Square is now open, Hoodads. Get the party going.
I'm strapped in. Are you strapped in?
You know what, Jeff? That's one thing, you know, us doing the pregame stuff, you don't get to – I've never – gotten to be a part of the activities in Champion Square, except that's
never?
A lie. I guess for Super Bowl week when we were walking around,
he's,
I got to see a
little
stuff.
He's out here lying. I don't know what you're doing, man. You're just lying to the people.
But not for a Saints game day.
I have, you know, obviously I haven't for a while because we've been doing this for like the last several years. But, you know, the one I vividly remember is 2018, the NFC Championship. And
it was nuts
out there because the job I had at that point, part of my job was to go out there and like take videos and post videos. And that is the craziest scene I have ever been at for a football game. For any sporting event, really. And it was just, I mean, it was packed to the gills. Like, the pictures from that alone are incredible. And the vibes in that game were nuts. And obviously, we remember it for something very different.
Unfortunately,
but,
yeah.
You know, the thing I'll never forget about that game is it got so loud, and the arena, the whole building was shaking to the point that a piece of the concourse broke off and like fell to the ground. Like, it was so loud, the Superdome was like being destroyed by the level of
the
noise.
Vibrations.
Jared Goff had to like tape over his helmet holes at halftime so he could hear. And like, I miss that. Like, that's probably, you know, the last 3 years, what's been so frustrating to me. Obviously, you'd like to see more wins, but like, you had a 9-8 season in there. It wasn't all bad. But the inability to get this dome rocking in the way that I know it can was honestly the biggest sin of the Dennis Allen era. Because it just, like, it's easy to forget how much of an advantage this building can be
right
when it's going. And, like, week 18 against the Falcons in the 23 season was probably the loudest I've heard it. And for obvious reasons, you blow the Falcons out, like, yeah, okay. And just, you know, I'm hopeful that we can get back to that. And I don't know how this season's going to go, but I'm hopeful that, like, the home games can at least be exciting. Like, I hope we get back to at least being a team that plays well at home.
I liked how Godshaw said, you know, the party starting early this year.
Because he doesn't know.
A lot of those noon games.
He's never been there.
Fans better be ready early this season.
Yeah, no, yeah, you got plenty of them. I mean, and I like noon Sunday starts. Like, I'm a traditionalist, right? You know, I grew up there were 1 p.m. starts because I was in a different time zone. But no, I mean, it's nice. It's a good time. Like, you get out, you get some drinks, you get into the building, you know, you get out and it's still sunny outside. You know, that's nice, right?
What was crazy was after Hurricane Katrina, I ended up in Arizona for a little bit, and the first game started at 10 a.m.
Yeah, that's those.
I was like, woo.
Yeah, those West Coast start times, man, they can be rough. I know that firsthand.
Looking at this black and gold bunch getting ready for preseason game number 2 today, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Everybody wants to talk about the quarterback competition. It's the biggest news swirling around the black and gold.
I don't know. I keep people asking me about Travis Hunter. You don't think he's going to play. I feel bad for him.
Oh, everyone was anxious to see the number 2 pick in the draft. I was too, and unfortunately it seems like they're going to be cautious with him as he's dealing with
an injury. But they are going to play starters. It does sound like we're going to see the starters for Jacksonville on both sides of the ball other than Travis Hunter. So, you know, it'll be a test for the Saints today.
Looking at the Saints QB battle, we know Tyler Shugg's getting the start today. After that, we'll get some run with Spencer Rattler and then kind of Jake Haener getting the third look with this team. Hunter Deckers was brought back for a second, but still, I feel like I haven't seen that guy throw a football in forever.
Yeah, he's on the JT Barrett track. If you remember JT Barrett, I can't remember what year it was. It might have been 2016 or 2017. He was cut and signed something like 27 or 28 times that season. I feel like that's the route
the path for Deckers.
Hunter is on this year. Because I fully expect him to come back. They'd signed Jeremiah Martin, who's a defensive lineman. I don't know exactly what his role is going to be, whether he's going to be the defensive end or the outside linebacker. But yeah, it's just anytime you need a roster spot, I think that's kind of the deal. Like, Hunter, we'll keep you around, but when we need that spot, we're going to take it. And that's kind of where he's at right now.
Everybody's looking for answers at this QB battle. Kellen Moore just said it's continually ongoing.
We want to give these guys as many opportunities as they can just because they're younger guys. They need experience. They need exposure. There's some things they're doing for the first time, maybe the second time. And so we just need time on task for them.
And Coach Moore was asked what he's seen from the QB competition thus far.
I think our quarterbacks have done a nice job of facing adversity, experiencing adversity, and then responding. Now we've got to limit the adversity as much as we can and keep growing.
Limit that adversity and definitely limit the turnovers. We saw at least Tyler Shuck respond back with that touchdown pass after the pick. I think we kind of talked about this a little probably on the podcast, Jeff, the Inside Black and Gold podcast, the fact that what took the coaching staff so long to switch their philosophy on the offense and realize that the corners were sitting and, you know, test them with that double move for that TD?
Well, you know, I think they did run a double move in the 2-minute drill with Shuck. They just missed it, right? Kevin Austin he was wide open. They just, you know, I think the timing when you're throwing to a Kevin Austin is a little different than the timing when you're throwing to a Shahid who can, you know, he can make up that space. But, you know, they did, I think if they connect on that, then maybe the DBs kind of back off a little bit.
Sure,
and,
I got you.
And they didn't. No, when you have a young quarterback, and Spencer Rattler is also a young quarterback, right? Like, we talk about him like he's the veteran in the room. He's a second-year pro. You know, you're going to play it safe. You're going to throw a lot underneath. You're maybe not take as many risks. And, you know, when these DBs are trying to make names for themselves, like, they're going to take some risks and jump in routes underneath. Like, they're just sitting on it, they're squatting a route and you go and get it. You know, and here's the thing. If that's Chris Olave out there, he might play a little safer. Like, you might give him a little more cushion. Same thing with Rashid Shaheed. It's Dante Pettis, and suddenly you get a little more aggressive. Because I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, I think that's a read where, and yes, Mason or Trayton Welch was kind of coming open because of the way the DB was playing it. But I think it's just a read where it's like, hey, you got off coverage, you throw that quick out, right? And so I don't think he made the wrong read there necessarily. It was just when the DBs identify that you're going underneath with everything and they're going to get aggressive, and that's why when you run that double move, they got nothing. You just spit on it and run by. Like, it'll be interesting to see if they change that up a little bit today. One thing that, you know, I don't think the Saints offense necessarily shined against the Rams, but one thing they were able to do was avoid any turnovers. Like, the Rams defense, they got after the quarterback. They didn't force any turnovers. And I assure you that,
Alvin had a fumble though, right?
He did, but I'm talking about the quarterbacks.
They did
punch a fumble out, but, you know, I'm sure these Rams defenders are a little disappointed they didn't come away with any interceptions. The Saints got three on the other field, right? These are young quarterbacks. You're trying to take advantage of them, and they weren't able to. So I think that's a positive sign. I also think, you know, one of the things that's really stood out to me is how Tyler operates in pressure scenarios in that 2-minute situation, right? And obviously we saw it at the end of the first half against the Chargers. He drove them down the field. They got stopped in the red zone, had a chance for a touchdown. He played it. He kept the ball safe, right? Like a young quarterback, you kind of worry, hey, is he going to try to do too much? Is he going to take a sack and the clock runs out? No, he understands when to get rid of the ball. And against the Rams, the most impressive moment for Tyler was, you know, it was a situation where the Saints, there was a minute and 20 left. They get the ball at their 35-yard line with one timeout, and they need a field goal to win the game. They're down 2 points. First play of that drive is an intentional grounding, kind of a bonehead rookie play where he tries to throw it away, but there's no one over there. He actually plunked Kelvin Banks on the side of the helmet. It was kind of funny. And, you know, in a situation with a rookie, you're like, man, maybe he folds there. You're looking at second and 20, and instead he comes back immediately, finds Brandon Cooks down the sideline for a 25-yard gain. You're in business around midfield, and, you know, he throws it to, I think he found Cooks on a short play. He's found a Shaheed down to the 35, and then Juwan Johnson for another 10 yards. Suddenly, you have a 43-yard field goal to win the game after starting at second and 20 at your own 25 because of a mistake. So, like, that kind of gene, that trait, that's what you need out of the quarterback. Like, you're going to make mistakes. It's not going to go perfectly all the time, but winning quarterbacks bounce back. Winning quarterbacks find a way. Like, how many times have you seen games end in that scenario where it's like one team has the ball, they just got to go find a way to get 40, 45 yards and give their kicker a chance to win the game, And, you know, some quarterbacks get that done, some don't. Some quarterbacks you trust to get that done, some you don't, right? When it was Andy Dalton against the Bengals a few years ago, did you trust him to make that game-winning drive? No. But when it was Drew Brees and you got him the ball,
right, we got this,
a minute 20 left in a timeout, what did everyone on the sideline say? Too much time. Okay. You left them too much time. Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes, like those are the guys. It's like you give them that much time, they go win the game. So it's good to see that out of a young quarterback, and hopefully, you know, that's a trait that can be kind of defining of Tyler in these opportunities.
Helping out these young quarterbacks, too, is the Saints' run game, which we haven't seen much of, I feel like, in camp or in the preseason. And, you know, a lot of it falls on the offensive line. But what with this running back room, has there been anyone besides Alvin Kamara that's kind of stood out and maybe grabbed your attention as, you know, being that guy? Is it Kendra Miller being that number two back right now?
Yeah, yes and no. You know, I don't think this team, this offense has run the ball as much as I'd like to see. But I do think that Kendra is your RB2. I feel pretty comfortable saying that. You know, when you see the usage he got in the preseason opener, like you want to be the guy that gets the first rep. And then, you know, by the second half, you're wearing a baseball hat, sitting on the sideline, cheering, not playing, right? Like, you don't want to be the guy who plays all the snaps. You want to be the guy who plays the premium snaps and then hangs out for the rest of the game. And, you know, getting that type of usage for Kendra last week, I think, is telling. You know, if he was really in a rotational competition, like a legitimate, oh, you might miss the roster type competition, he would be in there with everyone else, and you would be kind of rotating. And we'll see if that happens again today. I also wouldn't be shocked if you just sit him and you see the other guys, because I think
you need three and four potentially.
There are two questions. One is, how many running backs do you keep?
Yeah.
The other is, okay, I think you have one spot between Clyde and Cam Akers. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Cam Akers. And which, because I want one of those veteran guys to be kept around, and maybe the other one ends up on the practice squad. So I think that one of the competitions is between those guys. The other competition is Velus trying to convince the team that they should keep a fourth running back, because he adds an element to this offense that they just don't have, which is a running back with legit speed at that position, something they haven't had since, like, C.J. Spiller. Like, that's the last guy I can think that had, like, legit 4-3 speed at the running back position. Obviously, Darren Sproles before that. I think Velus Jones Jr. will get run today, and you'll kind of continue to see him used in this scat back scenario. You know, I went back and watched that jet sweep he had on the short yardage. Like, they got the muff punt, and they started at the 17 and didn't score. You know, you go back and watch that jet sweep, and my criticism of that play is, like, I want that guy to trust his speed. Like, he comes out there and says, I'm the fastest guy on the team. He'll prove it to me. You know, you got a defender kind of rolling along with you, but it's like you race that guy. It's got to be a race to the pylon. I don't want to see you come back. Now, he's trying to learn how to be a running back.
Yeah.
But in that situation, it's like, I want you to be a receiver-type player. Like, one of the reasons that there's value of you is, like, yes, you're a running back, but also you have that 4-3 speed. And so I want to see him just trust it and hit it. I thought as the game went on, he did that a little bit more. And in that one, he was just trying to be too cute. But no, like, he has that home run potential, and I just don't think you've had a running back with home run potential for a while. So if he can go out there and show something, and as a kick returner, I think he can make this team.
I was going to say, does the special teams ability help, you know, solidify that spot?
Yeah, and you look at it like, okay, the kickoff, right? Like, one of the things they did last year that drove me nuts was throw Jamal Williams back there for kick returns. And I understand why you do it, because you want blocking out of that second guy. But the problem is, if you have a kicker who's worth his salt, he's just going to kick it to that guy.
Right.
But if you have Velus Jones back there, who's a bigger type guy who can go and block, and Rashid Shaheed on the other side, you're going to force teams to have to choose. You want to kick it to the 4-3 guy, or you want to kick it to the 4-2-8 guy, right? So, no, I think that's a great situation, because you do trust the other guy to go out there and block if he has to. So, no, I think he's going to get more chances on kick returns, and if he can prove that he's an asset on special teams and gives you kind of an extra dimension on offense, you probably will keep a fourth running back.
Stepping away from the Caesars Sportsbook First Take for a bit for some commercial break. We'll be back with more right after this, so stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio. Still quiet here inside the Caesars Superdome. We're on Caesars Sportsbook First Take as we get ready for that noon kickoff. Saints versus Jaguars, our pregame coverage rolling on at 10 a.m. Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert on the countdown, the kickoff. You can meet up with the Cannon at Loge Level, Gate B in the atrium, presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. That'll be leading you up to the noon kickoff. Sync up with the home team. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas on the call, as well as Jeff Nowak on the sideline. After the game, you can sound off on the point after with the Cajun Cannon. Our wall-to-wall black and gold coverage of Saints football all day today. Zane Zit Jags on WWL and the Odyssey app. Jeff, we were talking about the running backs there and didn't get a chance to get into some of the younger guys, Marcus Yarns, mm-hmm. and also, unfortunately, Devin Neal, who has not been practicing.
Yeah, it's a bummer for Devin that he's missing his time, because this would be a good opportunity for him to potentially kind of carve out a role. You know, he's a sixth-round pick. When you have a nine-man draft class, yeah. like you're already going to be – there's a lot of times you're going to see rookies get cut. Now, I'm not saying Devin's going to get cut, but, you know, you got to earn something as a sixth-round pick. That said, like, I do think they like him, and they want to keep him around. So, you know, it's a bummer that he's not able to get out here. We've seen him at practice. He was out in California. He was working off to the side. So I think he's getting close. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully he can get back for the third preseason game and really kind of put something down.
Is he a hamstring issue?
Yeah, it's a hamstring issue. He tweaked it during the scrimmage, the long scrimmage they had in Metairie. You know, he's been out since then. They said it'd be out a couple weeks, so we're kind of probably on that timeline. Hopefully this week he can get back to practice. But, you know, you're not going to play in a game after missing the whole week of practice. So, you know, we'll see. But, no, I like Devin. I think he's come along pretty well. He's been solid in pass protection, which is what you need to be as a rookie to give yourself an opportunity to play. I think Marcus Yarns is probably on the outside looking in of this whole conversation.
Maybe a practice squad guy.
He's been solid, too. Like, you know, he kind of reminds me of a Jordan Mims from last year, where it's like you could see the talent there. It's just it's kind of a log jam in front of him to get a role. But, no, hopefully Devin can get out there, because I think there's a lot of talent.
Another position group with this Saints squad that's got a lot of question marks. I guess after the first three guys as wide receiver, we know Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Brandon Cooks are the staples right there. But after that, I don't know, Mason Tipton looks like he's definitely earned wide receiver number four status.
Yeah, you know, for the second straight year, he's just stood out and made plays. And that's how you make a team, right? Like, when you're a UDFA, you got to do something to get attention. And last year, he did enough in camp that he was able to make the roster without appearing in a preseason game. He was dealing with an injury, so you know, and then, but you got to the regular season and he didn't really deliver, right? Well, you know, we got to the preseason opener this year, and who's there making a play? It's Mason Tipton with a long touchdown. He had another long catch and run touchdown from Tyler in the joint practice on Thursday against the Rams. And, you know, a lot of times you'll say, like, what, have you been tackled? You know, okay, you know, we'll give it to him. In this case, you know, he outran the angles. You know, like, the Rams didn't have him. There was a legitimate 60-yard catch and run on kind of a shallow cross. Tyler Shuck delivered the ball on time and was able to catch it in stride and go. And a lot of times that's the difference between a long touchdown and maybe a 10-yard gain. Right, like if you force him to kind of fight the ball and go back and catch it, and then he can't get out in space, and the defense catches up, you know. So, you know, he's got that type of speed. He's got that type of long speed, and I think he does offer kind of a redundancy, if you will. Like, if you do have to play a game without a Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed, he can do a lot of the same things. So there's value in having a guy like that. I think Cedric Wilson, you know, with Bub Means going on IR, it's a bummer. Obviously, second year in a row, he suffered a season-ending ankle injury in SoFi Stadium against the Chargers. You know, probably doesn't want to go back there again ever in his life. But, you know, Cedric Wilson, I thought, you go back and watch that preseason game, he had one nice catch, kind of a busted coverage on, like, he went in motion and they just dropped the coverage and Spencer found him. He was not the read on the play. Spencer just ID'd it and got him the ball on a third down, which is nice to see. But his blocking really stood out to me. Like, there was a couple plays that, you know, Spencer was just getting out on a scramble, and you saw Cedric just identify it and go and block somebody. And instead of a 4-yard gain with a big hit on the quarterback, it was an 8, 9, 10-yard gain and a first down. So that's what you need, because, like, one thing, you look at this wide receiver room, what don't they have? Blockers. They don't have big bodies. Yep. You have guys like Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. They're going to be willing blockers. They're going to go out there and do their best, but that's just not their best skill, is going out and blocking. So you need someone that you can throw out there, particularly in the red zone. You can just be physical. You can go block a dude. You know, one of the reasons I think Bayless would have scored on that end around or the jet sweep if he went for the pylon is because Cedric had his guy sealed off. Like, he had that covered, and I think Bayless just didn't really trust it. But no, so Cedric is a guy I think makes the roster. The other, you know, the questions, do you keep 5, 6 wide receivers? Dante Pettis is a veteran who I think can give you some juice in the return game, and is just kind of a reliable guy. Like, whenever he gets thrown to, you know, obviously he did have a tipped up ball for an interception in Wednesday's practice, or Tuesday's practice rather, and that's not what you want to see. But just generally speaking, when the ball gets thrown to him, he makes plays. So he's a guy that, if he's not on the roster, I think he'll be a practice squad guy. But no, I think you're kind of set at wide receiver without Bub Means in the mix.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much. I feel pretty confident that, you know, if you keep five, that's going to be the five is the three at the top, Mason Tipton and Cedric Wilson. If you keep six, the next one's going to be Dante Pettis.
A lot of folks, you know, fans calling in, texting in when we do sports talk, want to ask all the time, is this team going to be scouring the waiver wire once some teams do make some cuts for that bigger body guy? And I'm not sure if they want to add somebody so late.
Oh, no, they're definitely going to be scouring the waiver wire. I don't know if they'll actually add anybody. But, you know, particularly at offensive line, like, I don't think you have a backup tackle. You know, Landon Young is there, but, like, I think there's – you know, we watched Dylan Radins play right tackle last week, and I don't necessarily –
don't want to see that again.
Like, I think he's fine as your backup guard, but, you know, when you throw him at tackle, that's a big question. So, no, I think this – I wouldn't be surprised if you see the Saints make a couple waiver claims. I just don't know if it's going to be a wide receiver. You know, I think you're kind of – yes, you would like a bigger-bodied guy, but you're not just going to bring in somebody, you know, speculatively just to bump one of these guys out, like – you know, I would have liked to see them make a move in the draft and go get a guy. I mean, like, Isaac Tesla was a guy I think they would have been interested in. They weren't able to get him, and he's been really kind of showing out in preseason. But, no, it'll be interesting to watch. I don't expect them to bring in a big wide receiver just to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and at this point of camp, it's, you know, if it was that veteran, I guess, that has been around and maybe had some experience with a Brandon Staley offense, I could see that. But somebody that's coming in with really no prior knowledge of this offense doesn't seem like you'd be getting much out of them.
No, and you'll see, like, again, I think offensive line is going to be the position that I look at when you're talking about waiver claims. Like,
yeah,
that's, you know, there's going to be a, you know, maybe the eighth, ninth offensive lineman on a team that gets bumped off, and he's better than your eighth, ninth offensive lineman, and you bring him in, whether or just sign somebody to the practice squad and see if they can compete. But right now, I think it's more about the guys in the room.
Looking at tight ends, we've talked about Juwan Johnson a bunch. After that, still some question marks. We know that Taysom Hill and Foster Moreau are still out with injury. A lot of folks asked, too, it's like, any kind of timeline for Taysom to be back? And I don't know. For me, it's going to be like midway through the season. You're hopeful.
Yeah, it's not a good sign that we don't really have a timeline right now, right? Like, you'd love to see, like, hey, yeah, we're looking for week four, week five. The longer it goes without anything, it just...
Right, he's just working.
He's just, you know, he's swimming upstream, right? Foster, I'd guess, is a little bit ahead of that schedule. But even him, I don't expect to be ready for the start of the regular season. And that will free up some roster spots. It might make the cut down a little easier because I think both those guys probably shift from the training camp pup list to the regular season pup list. So... You know, those are two spots that you could probably fill with somebody else. Maybe you do make a waiver claim and bring in a tight end. Because my issue isn't necessarily, well, Foster and Taysom aren't available. My issue is who past Juwan Johnson is a reliable tight end. And, you know, I like Jack Stoll. I think Jack Stoll's a good player, but he's a blocking tight end. What does he have, four catches in his career? Like, if he's a guy that I'm relying on at the tight end position, if Juwan gets hurt and he's my tight end one, that's a problem. So, if I had to pick one position that I'm concerned about in terms of you lose the top guy and then it just goes off a cliff, it's tight end.
Yeah, you were hoping to see a little bit more from a guy like Michael Jacobson, been a big presence at practice, but feel like we just haven't seen enough in game action yet.
No, he's never played a game. He's his first catch in the NFL. If he catches up all this season, it will be his first catch in the NFL. That's just where you are. You know, and they're bringing in guys like Mason Plyne, who's a college basketball player. He's hurt. He's out for
the year. Yeah, he got hurt.
You know, Malik Imadovao, who's a rookie, who I think they like, but he's more of a blocking tight end at this point
in
his career. So there's just not a lot of reliable options in there.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest things. You know, we talk about the need for a big physical receiver, and that's kind of only Juwan Johnson right now.
Yeah, he is that big physical receiver, and that's one of the reasons, you know, like, I feel like every year I get to go on these fantasy football podcasts, and I give terrible advice because I'm like, I think Juwan's going to have a big year, but like but I've been burned before. Still, I do think that Juwan's going to have a big year, and it's not even really about Juwan. It's about, okay, who are you throwing to? Right, like who else is getting targets? Who else is running routes at the tight end position? It's Juwan, you know. And the issue for him has not necessarily been talent; it's been A, usage and availability.
Yeah.
B, availability. And, you know, he's healthy right now. He did have a groin issue crop up early in camp, but he's back full now. I had him with 6 catches on Thursday against the Rams. And basically, you know, they weren't able to run the ball, but every time, you know, they needed to get a few yards, they'd go to him underneath and he'd be wide open, right? And he's got that kind of receiver skill set. He's got some nifty footwork along the sidelines. And it's just a matter of, hey, I want to get him 6 targets a game. Can I get him 6 targets a game? Because if I can do that, you're talking about a guy who's in the top 10 of tight end targets, who's probably got about 800 yards, who's probably got about 7-8 touchdowns, and that's what you need out of your tight end one.
And good thing is Kellen Moore likes using his tight end.
Exactly. And it's tough to compare him to Dallas Goedert because Goddard missed, you know, 8 games, 9 games last year with an injury. But, you know, you go back to that Saints game.
Look at that production, though. Yeah.
And you kind of get that vision of what that could have been throughout the course of the season, and he was very productive in the playoffs for them. So, you know, they don't really have a ton of options, and Kellen is going to want to use that tight end spot. So he's going to get targeted. Like, they paid Juwan. I know people, like, raise their eyebrows when they say 3 years, $30 million for a guy who hasn't really delivered that. But it's not about what he's done. It's about what you expect out of him. When you talk about that contract, and if you're going to get him 100 targets, then that is a viable contract. Now, if you signed him to that contract and you're still getting him 60 targets a year, like I think last year he had 66, which is his career high, then it is a bad contract because that's not what you pay a guy that's only getting 60 targets on the season. So we'll see how they use him. Again, if he plays today, it's not going to be much. But I think Juwan kind of has identified, you know, I need to be consistent. I need to be more aggressive, more assertive in demanding the ball and being a bigger part of this offense. And I'm excited about what he can do.
Excited for the start of Saints football today. We got a noon kickoff here in the Caesars Superdome. Getting ready for the countdown, the kickoff. The Cajun Cannon will be joining us. You can stop by, say who dat to the Cannon. Loge level gapey atrium is where WWL is set up, presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. We're taking a break here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take. We'll be back with even more. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into the Caesars Sportsbook First Take, an official sports betting partner of the Saints, getting ready for that noon kickoff right here in the Dome, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars in the second preseason matchup for the Saints. Coming up at 10 a.m., the countdown, the kickoff, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. You can stop by and say, who dat to the Cannon. Loge level gapey atrium is where we are set up, presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. We've been talking all things black and gold, looking over this roster as we get ready for the second preseason bout. And a guy that's been making some hay is Jonah Williams, a guy that's been in this Brandon Staley scheme before. And you see, I guess that familiarity has helped him translate some of the verbiage and what Staley's expecting to some of the guys that have not been in this scheme before.
Yeah, there's several players that Brandon Staley is familiar with that you brought in specifically for that reason. You know, and not just because, like, they understand the defense, but because they fit the scheme.
Yeah.
You know, and Chris Rumpf is one of those guys. Jonah Williams is one of those guys. And, you know, Jonah's funny because you look at him and you're like, man, that dude just looks like a football player. Like, he looks like he beat somebody up on the way to the podium when you talk to him. Like, he's got, like, marks all over him. And he's been fighting with people. And, no, they need that defensive line to be fierce.
He's not showing up with no shirt like John Ridgeway, though.
Yeah, John Ridgeway, you know, it's funny. I didn't realize he had that much personality. And apparently he's been fighting with Bo Davis for years. But, no, like, Jonah's kind of fascinating, and I have him making the roster right now. It's going to be – he'd be one of the last guys on to make the roster. He'd be on the end of that list, but I think just as a veteran presence and a guy that I can trust to throw in there and kind of bite somebody's head off, that's what I want.
He initially joined the NFL in 2020, an undrafted free agent with the L.A. Rams. That's when Staley was also in L.A. Williams was asked, is there any difference in Brandon Staley now from those L.A. days?
I mean, Staley is still Staley. The Staley I like. He knows how to command a room, lead the defense. I think the one thing that's different is the simplicity. I think he made it a little bit easier as a defensive lineman to get lined up quick, see his keys, and play football.
Williams also went on to say how comfortable he is in this defense.
4 years in that defense. He left after that first year, but he had so much success with it that no matter who was there at the Rams, at the helm, that defense stuck. They're so successful with it. I mean, they won the Super Bowl with it in 2021. So it feels like home to me. It's the defense that I grew up in the league. So,
Jonah Williams, more on playing in Staley's defense now here in New Orleans.
it is simpler than it used to be, but there's still stuff you need to know as a defensive line. Like, there's, you know, there's other systems where you just line up, you know, three tech to the tight end, and that's what you do every single play. That's not this defense. We build in other stuff that makes it a little harder for the offense to adjust to, and you be on your P's and Q's for that.
We mentioned, obviously, Williams being a part of this Staley defense in the past. How does he feel the entire defensive unit is flowing?
Kind of got on top of the install quick, got it all in, and now we're in this, like, just master phase. And I think you're seeing just more confidence out of everyone. Now that it's, like, less about learning the playbook and a little more about that, the nuance side that I was talking about earlier. Like, you know, what's not on paper. So how you can cheat certain things, you know, make it a little bit easier. They can actually play together. There's a lot of that in football that, you know, isn't talked about. Just how, like, as a defensive lineman, how you can play certain techniques to make it a little bit easier on your linebacker. And it's not on the paper. It's not on the playbook. But by doing it, you're going to be a more stout defense.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jonah Williams. You feel like he's going to fit in somewhere on this Saints defense and be one of those last guys to make the roster.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that Jonah has talked about, and a lot of these defensive linemen have talked about, is one of the key elements of Brandon Staley's defense is it allows them to play fast. Like, they're not over there constantly trying to figure out what they're supposed to be doing. It's very much a, okay, that's the quarterback, go get him. Or, you know, in the run game, you know, there's a lot of action that's simple that, you know, guys can pick up quickly and just get out there and play. You know, and I think the thing Brandon has said a lot is just go get it. Just go get it. Like, get out there and play.
That was a concern, I think, this year going in, because you were making such a radical flip in scheme.
Yeah, and I think that's why you brought in guys who are familiar with it.
Right.
Right? So they can kind of translate. But I don't think we've seen, like, that defensive line struggle much at all. I think they've picked it up well. And again, Devon Godshaw has been a big part of that, like we talked about in the opening hour. But no, I think that defensive tackle spot, which is technically a defensive end spot in the 3-4, you know, like a Colin Saunders, Jonah Williams. Like, I have Jonah making the roster right now over Nathan Shepard.
Okay.
I think that's kind of like one of those guys is going to be competing and winning that job. But no, I think you've gotten a lot of good work. I think you have a lot of talent in there in the interior defensive line. And, you know, I'd like to think that, and again, like we talked about, like, one of the reasons the offense struggled early in camp is because the defense was a little ahead, and because I think this defense could be very good this year.
Want to check out Jeff's projected 53-man roster, an early projection? You can go to WWL.com. It's posted there. Meanwhile, we're going to take a break here on the Caesars Sportsbook First Take and return with even more. So stay tuned right after this on WWL Saints Radio. Welcome back into the WWL and Caesars Sportsbook First Take, folks, and official sports betting partner of the Saints. A noon kickoff here in the Superdome today, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars preseason game number 2 coming up 10 a.m. The countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon standing by. You can stop by and say hey here at the Loge Level Gate B Atrium. Presented by Craig's Electrical and Generator Service. Been breaking down this matchup, Jeff. Didn't talk a lot about the Jaguars. Looking at this team coming in, we said early on, though, it's looking like most of their starters will be in action. We'll have to wait and see, though. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the second overall selection in Travis Hunter is healthy enough that they want to put him out there today.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of bubble wrap that guy, you know.
Yeah, and I just selfishly wanted to see him.
Yeah, no, I would have been excited to see him out there as well. I mean, you know, he's going to be playing on both sides of the ball. Like, they're committed to it. And that was always the big question going into the season. It was like, okay, whoever drafts him, are they gonna say, nah, you're a defensive back, you're a wide receiver? And the Jags, you know, they traded up for him. They're all in on playing him on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be exciting to figure that out. My understanding is they've been playing him more at wide receiver to get to kind of develop at wide receiver at the NFL level, because he's already developed as a defensive back. But no, so I think you're going to see Trevor Lawrence. You're going to see the first team offensive line, defensive line. So it'll be a good test for the Saints, particularly on offense, and whether they can hold up against that pass rush.
Yeah, and for me too, the Jaguars running back room is pretty decent. You have with Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby, and a rookie in Bashaul Tootin over there. Curious to see how they hold up, you know, against that. I thought the first matchup against the Chargers was kind of mixed reviews.
Yeah, I like running backs named Tank. You know, it just makes sense. Does he run like a tank? I don't know, but yeah.
You have to with that name.
A lot of Louisiana connections there as well, because obviously Travis Etienne is from Jennings, Brian Thomas Jr.
You think we'll see him
from LSU? I mean, if they play the starters, I haven't seen any reason. I don't think he's dealing with an injury, so I don't see why you wouldn't. It just depends on what they're looking for. But, you know, Josh Hines Allen on the defensive side, I think, is a guy that is really, really tough to deal with. Trayvon Walker was number one pick in the draft. So, like, they have talent on the defensive side of the ball as well. This is going to be a good challenge, I think.
And a whole new system and scheme over there that they're implementing. Two new head coaches going at it today.
Yeah, you know, anytime you have head coaches hired in the same cycle, they're going to be compared to each other.
Sure.
Right? You know, and they're both younger guys. Liam obviously had a really strong season with the Bucks last year. Kellen obviously won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. So you kind of have that, you know, flavor of the week, offensive coordinator, head coaching hire that everyone's excited about. And, yeah, I mean, in Liam, that was a weird saga with the Bucks, you know, when he was kind of playing one side against the other. So, no, it's going to be fun to watch.
That's a wrap on today's Caesars Sportsbook First Take, folks. Coming up next, the countdown, the kickoff with the Cajun Cannon. For Jeff Nowak, I'm Steve Geller. Who dat, folks? Be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL Saints Radio.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.